Diaporhyia is a quarter-inch long, shrimp-like creature that lives in the sediment at the bottom of most of the Great Lakes. Just about every fish at some time in its life relies on diaporhyia for food. Those that don't eat the fish that eat diaporhyia. Researchers used to find 10,000 of these animals in a square yard of sediment. Today, the researchers are disturbed because they're taking up samples and finding only hundreds in a square yard, and sometimes finding none, not one. But this isn't simply scientific curiosity for biologists. It has economic impact. Mark Gaydon is with the Great Lakes Fisheries Commission. He says this is beginning to affect commercially harvested fish.
There's a very deep concern about the impact of the loss of diaporhyia on the whitefish diet.
Gaydon says the commercial fishers started noticing that the whitefish looked different. Their body weight just wasn't what they were used to seeing. Tom Spalding is one of the partners in Gothier and Spalding Fisheries in Michigan. They fish on Lake Huron. He says whitefish there aren't getting enough to eat.
Well, some of them definitely look skinny, all right. And the other ones, they're a longer fish, but they just don't have the body weight that they should have for a fish that length. So it's got to be food-related. They're natural food, that diaporhyia shrimp, you see what I mean?
And it's just not the commercial fishers on Lake Huron. It's happening everywhere except Lake Superior. The Great Lakes Fisheries Commission's Mark Gaydon says it's got a lot of fishers worried.
Any time, though, where you have something like diaporhyia, which is something that's critical in the food web, and you're seeing drastic declines in it, and we're not quite sure why this is taking place, it's cause for serious concern.
The commercial fishing industry is looking to the researchers. The researchers have been working on this problem for years. So what's causing it?
Well, that's what I'm struggling with. There's a lot of conflicting evidence.
Tom Nalepa is a research biologist at the Great Lakes Environmental Research Lab. He says it's possible that the invasive species, the zebra mussel, might be eating most of the diaporhyia's food.
It lives on the bottom, but it needs that fresh material that drops down right at the sediment surface. And this is exactly the same material that zebra mussels are filtering out. So logically, it's a food problem. But the confusing thing about it is that the animals are not showing any signs of starvation. They're relatively healthy, yet the population's dying off down to zero.
The researchers continue to try to figure out exactly what's going on. But if the zebra mussel is the culprit of the die-off of diaporhyia, the scientists say there's nothing that can be done about it. It'll mean a huge change in the natural balance of the Great Lakes. The commercial fishers such as Tom Spalding say they're hopeful that the whitefish will find something else to eat. They hope it's just a matter of time. But in the meanwhile, Spalding says it's not just whitefish that are being affected. It's the fish the sport fishers like to catch, too.
We're seeing skinny lake trout out there. We're seeing other species, too, that are suffering because the food chain, the food they're after is low. But it's not just a whitefish problem in the Great Lakes right now. And the finger seems to be pointing toward the zebra mussel, so it's a serious problem as far as changing the whole ecosystem out there that we see.
This might be only the latest economic damage caused by the zebra mussel since it stowed away in a cargo ship in the early 1980s. The mussel has cost industry because it clogs intake pipes. It's damaged the native mussel populations. And the long-term damage to the environment of the Great Lakes and the Mississippi River system where it's also spread is not yet clear. One thing is clear. Any savings realized because of those cheap goods on that cargo ship can't possibly offset the cost to the economy because of the zebra mussels that ship carried in its ballast water. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, this is Lester Graham.